Good morning. I think we still have some guests coming in, so just come right on in and find a seat. And maybe a few of you, if there's an empty seat, can scoot over a little bit here or there and try to make room for squeeze a few more folks in. By the way, we are having a luncheon immediately following our service today to host our Chinese guests. But everybody's welcome to stay for lunch, so please stay and join us for fellowship and have the opportunity to meet Bob Fu and some of his friends. So we're just very excited about the opportunity that we have together to fellowship today. Today's a very special day, and I'm commissioned to introduce Bob at this time. Bob Fu is a pastor from Midland, Texas, and he heads a ministry called China Aid Association. And his wife, Heidi, is here with him today. And I'd like to introduce Heidi. Would you stand up? God bless you, Heidi. And they have three children. Bob is, through China Aid, fighting for religious freedom in China and is considered by many as the voice to the world of the underground and persecuted church in China. Bob's been instrumental in helping and freeing many imprisoned Christians in China. Many of us have watched the media blitz that's occurred just the past couple months concerning a man named Mr. Chen, who is a blind activist in China who fights and lobbies against forced abortions and the forced sterilization of women in China. Mr. Chen was imprisoned for 4 years by the Chinese government, and it was Bob Fu and China Aid who helped to facilitate Mr. Chen's escape and arrival at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing just this past month, just several weeks ago. In fact, I have a copy of the Wall Street Journal here from just last week, and that's none other than Bob Fu on the cover of the Wall Street Journal in actually a capital here, a Capitol Hill hearing with Representative Christopher Smith of New Jersey concerning these human rights matters. Bob was going to be in the St. Louis area this weekend to attend ceremonies at Midwest University in Wentzville, where he actually received, just this past Friday, his honorary doctorate degree from Midwest University. Congratulations, Bob. And I asked him what was the title of the doctorate degree, and his doctorate degree is in Christian Global Leadership. So congratulations. And a very appropriate title, Global Christian Leadership, because God is certainly using this man on literally a global scale to bring forward the kingdom of God upon the earth. I had the privilege, James Harper and I had the privilege through Jim Teague to have lunch with Bob a couple months ago. We met him for the first time, and I learned that he comes to St. Louis on occasion. So I said, is there any chance the next time you come to St. Louis that we could have you come and be a guest speaker at our church? And he very graciously agreed to come and to share with us. And we feel so honored that he would be willing to do that. We thought we were getting just Bob, and he brought a whole entourage, you know. So we're very excited about that. I'm so excited because, in fact, Bob has with him today in the United States, there's two pastors with us today from the underground church in China. And Bob and his wife themselves have been imprisoned in China. These pastors have been in prison in China. And also two human rights lawyers who defend the rights of the persecuted church in China. In fact, Sherry, we're videotaping the service today, and we've been asked to actually not videotape certain segments to put on the internet because these gentlemen, these brothers that are here, their faces really, it's a chance they could be seen in China and they could get in big trouble. So it's just such a privilege to have these brothers here with us today. So I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. Bob's going to share. I think we're going to invite a couple of the house church brothers up to share and give testimonies. Bob is going to do some interpreting for us. I've already given them carte blanche. The service might go a little bit long, but this is a special day. It takes a little longer to interpret. So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit be in charge of whatever happens here, and we're going to have a nice fellowship lunch afterwards. So I feel very privileged, and it's my great honor to introduce to you this morning Dr. Bob Fu.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Good morning to y'all.
Good morning.
That's South Texas. it's really a privilege and a joy to worship together while, you know, we're celebrating and worship the same God, no matter, you know, we're white, black, yellow, or, you know, green, or I don't know whether there's any green. But praise the Lord. When Tony and Jim and another brother Jim, we sat together a few months ago in a restaurant, and they're talking about, said, "Oh, Brother Bob, you know, we go to one of the ministries this church has actively engaged is prison ministry, and so I heard every month you go to prison." I said, "Okay, sounds like a prison church." And so we, today, as Tony mentioned, yeah, we bring a fellowship of prisoners from China. And so we have prison fellowships, okay? And so me and Heidi, we were also imprisoned for the gospel. And Attorney Jack, he was imprisoned for 3 years in a Tibetan prison, being tortured. And we have Pastor Wang Dao, who is going to administer the today's Lord's the supper together with you, and Attorney Li Subin was also in prison, kidnapped last year, and tortured by the Chinese authorities for his stand for justice. And of course, we have Pastor Wando's wife, even was summoned to the police for interrogation. As well as, I think, even my staff, Dr. Jerry, was interrogated for one day, just simply being a staff of China Aid when he entered into China last year. And so we are having prison fellowship, right? And praise the Lord. I think we are free now, free in Christ. And I am thankful for today's opportunity to share some encouraging words, and that to show, you know, our Lord, He is a living God. Aren't we glad that we are privileged to serve, not only to believe in Him, but also to serve Him. And most importantly, I will share a message that we are privileged to serve Him in suffering with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity, and thank You for Your presence today, and for this the great fellowship, the sense at this church who cares not only about themselves, but also by the sense of all over the world. And with this invitation, Lord, and we ask You and You alone to be glorified today. And may You cleanse and purify the hearts and minds and mouth of Your little servant and today at the pulpit, so that You will be lifted up. And we all together can can be gladly worshiping and manifest your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bible, let's have some verse of the Lord I want to read to you. The first part is in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, Philippians 1:29. The book of Philippians chapter 1. I will read verse 27 to 29. Philippians 1:27-29. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. For it has been granted to you. It's a privilege. On behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. And then if you turn to the book of Hebrews, 希伯来书, chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 希伯来书6:19-20. Hebrews chapter 6, 19 and 20. So I use the less holy version called NIV. So, since this is the only version in my iPad, and I know you have some more holy version. So you just read that. And Hebrews 6:19-20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Is that the right pronunciation?
Good.
Yeah. Okay. So praise the Lord. This scripture, these two parts of the scripture has shown to us. It seems the Bible suggests that, you know, after you pray a prayer, after you jump into the swimming pool to be baptized, after you gather around the church, there's something more than to become a Christian or to be called a Christian. There's something more than we proclaim we are Christian, or when we write our denomination, when we go to a church or a certain affiliation. Or there's something more than when the politician, you know, stand in the assembly and said, I'm a man of faith. What does it mean, said, you know, I'm a man of faith? What this faith entails? It seems there's something more when Paul, in his prison cell, and even said, it has been granted to us in Christ Jesus, on behalf of Christ Jesus, that we're not only believing in him as a follower of Christ, but also, can we sit together, but also to suffer for him. Is that a little strange message? We're not only privileged to, we're granted, we're not only privileged to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. I don't think many American Christians, or, you know, maybe even
many Chinese Christians, or all the Christians in the world, are ready to digest, to live out for this word. Because, come on, when you go to CVS or any of the pharmaceutical stores, what are the biggest, you know, the largest products in this, you know, over-the-counter medicines?
Take my pain away.
Yes, take my suffer, take my pain away. It's called pain relief, or pain-free, right? That's the best medicine. You know, when I remember my sons, you know, my son, my daughter, they got high fever or some problems. You know, the first thing is the minor pain relief is called Tylenol. Like, you know, now I've become a doctor and before I become a nurse. And so Jim carefully, yes, when I got my doctor, honorary doctorate degree, and Jim went up to me and said, "Doctor, now since you're a doctor, I have some pain here. Can you diagnose for me?" And pain-free is the ideal, right? And when I came to the U.S. 15 years ago, and I found it's a little strange American phenomena, you know, every piece of food has something called sugar. And so I did a little research, and according to the U.S. Government data, do you know how much sugar every American consumes every year? Just guess, you know.
10 pounds.
10 pounds? Any more boobs? Guess?
500 pounds.
500 pounds? I think you will make the agriculture department bankrupted. So I can give you exact figure, and the most updated one is 156 pounds. So Pastor Tony has a bigger faith of healthy life. 156 pounds every year average American consume. You know, that is 31 bags of 5 pounds, you know, sugar bag. Every year. But at the same time, what's the most prosperous industry, you know, on the advertisement? It's called, you know, my wife always reminded me, weight loss, right? Healthy, organic food, or, you know, we were so always debating, you know, said, I think maybe if you reduce the sugar for half, insurance company will be bankrupted too, right? I think many of the things will become painless or pain-free. You see, the gospel gave us a little different message. I mean, nobody wants to be suffering. Nobody wants to be in pain. But it seems the gospel suggests we are destined. We should welcome. It seems a necessary or inevitable thing. And it's a privilege to the point for Apostle Paul, a former prisoner, staying in a suffering in a Roman prison, and said, brothers and sisters, we're not only granted a privilege to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. So this is what the founder of the Voice of Martyrs, how many of you have heard this organization? Yeah, Voice of Martyrs. The founder of the Voice of Martyrs called Richard Rumbrad, who spent 17 years in a Romania prison for sharing the gospel in the former communist Romania. And he often, before he passed away with the Lord, I was privileged, met with him and ministered with him in his latter days with the Voice of the Martyrs. And he's always talk about this new vocabulary called sufferology. Sufferology, you know, the manner of suffering for Christ. You know, we have all these ologies, you know, theology, biology. There's sufferology. I think in the United States, especially when I visit Europe, you know, to Finland, to Netherlands, to all these former so-called Christian countries, I saw a very depressing different picture. I think one major problem is the gospel was preached in half, incomplete. We talk about a lot of good things or happy things or what I call the therapeutic message. You know, we talk about, you know, after you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. Yes, you have eternal life. Through what? And a few years ago, the New York Times made a report that a thief sort of entered into a Catholic church and stole something very, very treasurable. It's a cross, you know, with Jesus. You know, the Catholic Church, they have this big cross, and, you know, Jesus, wooden Jesus on there. And the headline was the thief went into the church and unscrewed that Jesus on the in front of the cross, and only stole Jesus. So the end of the journalist reporting, it says it seems the thief is interested in Jesus but not the cross.
Wow!
Isn't that amazing?
Wow!
Isn't that the message? You know, in our, you know, good Christian prosperity, you know, the good only Christianity, a modern Christianity, a pitiful, I think, Christianity, an incomplete gospel says we only like the good part. You know, the Santa Claus, like Santa Claus, like Jesus, the goody things, supplier Jesus, but forgot what it entails, the cross. You know, the cross, yes, it's a glorious cross. But we all know what cross meant in the Roman time. It's the most shameful, the most curseful, only reserved for those who are, you know, who committed the most vicious crimes, deserve to be nailed to the death. That what our Lord Jesus Christ has gone through. We know many, you know, through all many reports that China, in the People's Republic of China, in the past 60 years, the Lord has revived, especially among the house churches. And many said it's the greatest revival since the time of Adam. In 1949, when Communist Party took power in China, there were about 877,000 communion-taking Christians. 877,000, less than 1 million, after almost 1.5 centuries of foreign missionaries, including many American missionaries, hard labor. You know, take the first missionary, Robert Morrison, 14 years in China to have the first fruit, baptize the first Chinese Christian. 14 years. And then after communists took power, you know, all the missionaries by 1953 were kicked out. And I met some of them, some retired missionaries in the U.S., and they sharing with me, they said at that time, they thought Christianity is done. An atheist monster occupied China. All the Christian hospitals were shut down. All the Christian universities were shut down. and instead for the atheism education was imposed to all every Chinese. Many thought, you know, Christians will be really disappeared. But in 1980s, when China first opened up, when the first group of missionaries, or secret Christians entered into China, and they found out, my goodness, there's this, my God, you know. It's not only the Christians were not disappearing, actually there was a great revival from in the caves, in the underground, really basement. There are God's people everywhere already.
Yeah.
At that time among the rural areas. So it was estimated at that time, it's already in the 1980s, the number of Christians have already reached to, some said, 50 some million. 50 million. 1980s. And today, you know, another 30 years passed. Especially after 1989, when the massacre happened in the Tiananmen Square, when the students, you know, launched the protest. The churches, the revival has been unprecedented. And a few years ago, when the then Chinese Communist Party of top official who's in charge of the government, the Religious Affairs Bureau, Mr. Ye Xiaowen, and he, in two secret meetings, closed-door meetings, he claimed, he said, the number of Chinese Christians have reached to 130 million. 130 million. That's about half of the U.S. population, right? 130 million. Of course, you know, China has 1.4 billion. A lot of people. Still small percentage, less than 10%. Even the largest number estimated. That's how many fold from less than 1 million when the Communist Party took power to now 130 million. Even less conservatively said, 100 million. Who made that happen? It's our Lord. There's not a single day in the past 60 years, 70 years under communism. There's not a single day that there's not the Christian in the Chinese prison. Every day, even today, I mean, I received information of a pastor being arrested, you know, for worshiping the Lord. I mean, in Beijing today, at least 15 house church brothers and sisters were detained in prison. Today, China just passed Sunday. And it seems God has something, an element of somebody called a secret of revival. So when I go to some American churches, some pastors ask me, said, you know, what's the recipe of a revival? You know,
Soberology.
Yes. So how to make that happen? Some pastor suggests maybe to invite some Chinese communists to be deacons. Some American churches. I think there will be a great revival. Very Pastor Tony. So we can introduce a few. But I think, you know, that's an element of our faith that we often have not heard or not often experienced or not even willing to think or to live a life for that. Brothers and sisters, yes, you know, nobody wants to be suffering. Especially, you know, when we are suffering some unnecessary sufferings because of our depravity, because the depravity of the fall of the our you know ancestor Adam, or because of our own sins. But are we willing? Or are we seeking? Or are we enjoying, as Paul said in the book of Philippians, again, said, my brother, rejoice in suffering. Rejoice to know that I'm in prison. Rejoice that I'm in chain, because what? It's a privilege that you entered into the same suffering with our Lord Jesus Christ, who died, who suffered the most treacherous death on the cross. It's a privilege to enter into that kind of suffering for the name of the Lord. So among the Chinese house churches, called underground churches, I think you are part of that. We just come from underground to above the ground. And there is a famous saying. It said, if you want to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ in China, the first theological course in prison is not systematic theology or Christology or hermeneutics or church history. It's called prison theology. Prison theology. I think if you go to China, you know, I already made my offer to Tony and James, said, you know, anytime if you go, we are ready to facilitate to meet with those brothers and sisters. And, you know, we guarantee you a safe arrival, couldn't guarantee you a safe return. Have to do that by faith, okay? And we live in faith and by faith. Sufferology. And, you know, you have brothers and sisters who's, you know, are imprisoned, some were martyred, you know, from 20 years, 15 years. And there is a brother in West China called Ali Mujang, MIT. And he was from a Muslim background, just because he came to know the Lord and became a leader of that 10 million Muslims, you know, to share the gospel. He was sentenced to 15 years imprisonment 3 years ago, after suffering enormously. And those among us today, they have taken some intensive course of prison theology. My wife, Heidi, and I, we felt very privileged. You know, we were a little scared in 1996 in the month of May. After I finished my teaching, and I got a job God gave to me humorously, teaching English to the Communist Party leaders. That was my daytime job, but I was also an underground agent for God. So Wall Street Journal, they called me a double agent for God. And so after I finished my teaching, and then security officials blocked me and said, you know, security officer from the Beijing city wanted to talk to you. You know, I talked to Heidi, and we knew maybe a little bit sufferology will come. And we were a little scared, but we prayed, we knelt down and prayed that the Lord will bring His glory, whatever happens to us. Of course, our little room, that time we don't have children yet, and we're searched, and everything was sort of every corner, everything. I mean, our bed was upside down, and we're searched, all the Bibles, even our wedding pictures, everything was confiscated. So we didn't have any picture of our wedding, I mean, at least at that time, printed, and all the videos, everything, were confiscated. Then we were taken to a prison. The first few days and nights, no sleep, non-stop interrogation. And honestly, yeah, you know, a little suffering, you feel a little scared. But when those interrogator, you know, slammed their their interrogation table and said, you know, many people outside the world seems caring about you. That one sentence really helped me through the whole 2 months imprisonment, because I know I was not alone. I know that means many brothers and sisters, perhaps many foreigners, because they wouldn't care about Chinese, have been praying for us, have been maybe making petitions, making appeals for our freedom. And I feel so, so blessed and encouraged, even in my prison cell, to capture every opportunity to share this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ, to let them know they could be free indeed from the bondage of sin, bondage of Satan, bondage of this world, with this gracious gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And my wife was imprisoned in a different cell with other female criminals. And when one day the interrogator told me, said, Brother Fu. So this interrogator even called me Brother Fu. And sarcastically said, your wife is much more stubborn than you. I am so thankful for that comment. Of course, in prison, that's even better. Said she didn't talk anything. She didn't reveal anyone's name during her interrogation. She didn't betray any brothers and sisters.
Amen.
So I'm so, so happy to hear I have a stubborn wife. That's a virtue. Don't underestimate, you know, even sometimes she's a little firm. But we should know God has something better prepared even for that element.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's the, I think, when Paul says that, he actually, I have a few other passages just to share with you before I call, you know, those brothers and sisters today with us. I want to let them share a little bit to encourage each one of us, to help his name glorified. I want to share, this is what the author of the book of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with the perseverance the race marked out for us, and fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a great Savior we have.
Amen.
What a great Lord we are serving. Because not only, I mean, it's not our strength to endure the suffering, because we have the anchor of our soul, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, who have already entered into the sanctuary and paid the ultimate price. Let us fix our eyes on that anchor, you know, the anchor. News anchor is the one, the first one. Read the news. The first one lead us into the situation. That is our anchor of soul, Jesus Christ, who tasted the suffering, the ultimate suffering, who lead us, who has the most
powerful accomplishment and a promise to lead us into what God has promised us. Through what? Through suffering. Through suffering. The sufferology on the cross. Let us not forget about that. Let us rejoice even in the midst of suffering. You know, further down, I mean, actually before what the author of Hebrew talk about these great cloud witnesses, he mentioned some of them. You know, he mentioned, of course, those by faith, Abraham, those by faith, Moses, those by faith, he mentioned all these the faithful saints in the Old Testament. And then he said, this is what he said. He said, and what more shall I see? In Book of Hebrews 11, from 32. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and David and Samuel. About David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, and whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others. So this is the part I want you to pay attention specifically. There are others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced the jeers and the flogging and even chains and imprisonment, and they were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in desert and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. Those were all commended for their faith. My brothers and sisters, in the past 60 years in China, these were happening. And some are still happening. Even yesterday, when we were visiting the arch, the Gateway Arch, Pastor Wang Dao, for the first time, you know, he was released from prison for a while, and his wife Angelina shared with us, she said, only until yesterday, he shared, Pastor Wang was chained when he was imprisoned, was chained in an iron bed. So I will let him share a little bit after I finish. I think that is the most golden and the precious part of our faith. You know, from the first martyr, Stephen, to Justin Martyr, to all these, what we call the cloud of witnesses. You know, many times, maybe in America, we thought, okay, you know, my salary was deducted 20% because of the lower market, or I was employed, or, you know, I feel offended by some of my colleagues. We call them suffering. We call them pain. Yeah, that's part of the suffering. But how much, you know, when you cherish because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because we stand firm for our faith, because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without shame, because we, wherever we go, on the workplace, in our home, in the public square, in Congress, or
even in prison, we stand firm for the Jesus Christ. Look what will happen. I'm sure you wouldn't have a very comfortable life. I'm sure there will be more fans, even lawsuits against you. I have learned and partnered with several major organizations, including ADF, you know, Alliance Defense Fund, based in Arizona. Every year they spend $47 million defending religious liberty for Americans. Another organization called Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty in Washington, D.C. When I visited them, the founder told me very gladly, said, oh, last year we took up a very major case. And it was about in Chicago, there was a mayor of Chicago want to build a park and ask all the Chicago citizens can donate bricks. And as part of the fundraising sort of a style, the mayor said, anybody can write whatever you want on the on the bricks, and we'll, you know, put on the park. One couple write John, Gospel of John 14:6. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only piece of brick was denied by the city of Chicago to put in there. Okay. Not only that, there was a lawsuit, of course. So this organization from the Beckett Fund took up the case. It took them 17 months with, I think, two or three lawyers full-time working on this case, and cost them about $300,000. Of course, the result was a victory one. The city mayor of Chicago was forced to put back that brick. And that's a victory one. Well, that was a part of the, I think, American way now, you know, maybe Lord is preparing some way of persecution for our American precious brothers and sisters. But if we hear from attorney Lee Subin, you know, his story, it's not only, you know, when he defended for those brothers and sisters, they're not only just facing a lawsuit. Many, you know, during the interrogation time were hanged, and only like this, and just barely touched that for hours and hours. And I interviewed, and we rescued, in the past 6 years or so, we rescued about 20 some, you know, those who were suffering, you know, that they couldn't really live a normal life anymore. And we rescued some of their family members, some of them escaped from China. You hear their story and look at their scars and watching their faces. Really, there are lots of tears. But at the end of the day, you always see some tearful joy and gratitude, and said, you know, this is a privilege, this is a joy when we are worthy to be called co-sufferer with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the little girl, no, not very little, she was imprisoned in central labor camp for 6 years at the age of 30 already. In the labor camp, every day, 12, 14, 16 hours of hard labor, manufacturing Christmas lights, carpets to import, you know, all over the world, including many in Walmart, of course. And she was tortured, and at one time, they just took off her clothes, and with the electric shock batons, just touched every part of her body. And she cried out. She said, my Lord, my Lord. Then they used another electric baton just to put into her mouth. And she passed out. So I asked her, I said, what, you know, at that time as an evangelist of your church, for simply for the gospel of Jesus Christ, what have you thought in your mind? She said, I was crying out to the Lord, take my life, Lord. I can't endure anymore as a single girl to bear that kind of shame and suffering. She asked the Lord to take her away to his throne. And then when she had that, she said, when that was in her mind, she immediately, she said, I saw a cross. I saw my Lord Jesus on the cross. She was naked. He was naked. And he was also tortured and like an electric baton was tortured. He was, my Lord was tortured that way. All of a sudden, he felt a great sense of unspeakable joy with tears. And he felt, he said, oh my Lord, you gave me this privilege to even suffer a similar type of suffering with you naked, ashamed, and being tortured like that way. So she felt unspeakable comfort and joy. That's the only thing sustained her whole, the last 3 years of tremendous suffering and persecution. Her name is called Sarah. You know, we have a video. I hope in the future, maybe I will give a copy to you. You can show. We made a what is called not documentary. What is called that?
Interview.
Huh?
Yes. Yeah, a short movie.
Yeah, a movie. But you know, she talked a little bit in the beginning. But we have a actress. Just you know. I don't know what kind of format, but it's a, you know, it's a never forgetting a video you will have. I think that has been to many. She's just the one of 100, maybe 100,000 examples. The pastor who married Heidi and I spent 22 years and 8 months in prison. 22 years and 8 months. Can you imagine? You know, maybe for Heidi and I, we feel 2 months are pretty long. And, you know, with other criminals, and you witness every day the violence. And 2 years, 20 years, 8 months imprisonment. After he returned, he's pretty stubborn, apparently. Has never stopped preaching the gospel for any single day. His name is called Alan Yuan, Yuan Xiangcheng. Alan Yuan, he is now with the Lord. Such a sense. There are so many, of course, stories I can share with you today. We don't have a lot of time. I want some of my brothers and sisters to come and share a little bit. First, I want to invite Dr. Chen Zhigang, Zhang is his English name. 我想先请志刚 分享几句，然后呢，我们再请其他的几位，我叫你名字的时候，你就上了。OK,
yeah. Dear Holy Saints of the Lord, a slave ever bound to sin, but today, bound by love chain to the Lord, grace you all. May grace, mercy, and peace be with you.
Amen.
I usually call myself John Sanders because I'm very bad-tempered before, but not now. I'm Bob's classmate. And before that, I have a dream that I can earn big money to support my family because I was born in a rural family, and we are in destitute poverty. But when I met Bob in the university, he invited me to Bible study groups. I usually escape because it is so hard. And in 1991, Bob invited me to a church, and I don't know what is the result, the consequence that can bring me. So I just joined him to distribute the brochures. The second day, some security member just come over and invited me 2 hours. I said, no. So from that on, I began to escape, try to escape the Lord from the presence of the Lord. And for 5 years, and Bob persisted, invited me to some Bible study. So in 1999, it is the Holy Spirit, it is the Lord's love, captured me.
Amen.
And I was surrendered to the Lord.
Yes.
And one day, I went to worship, but I found that the church was banned. I tried to connect it to Bob. He was put in prison. So from then on, I began to wander from church and to this church to another church, maybe 20 churches. Just like a sheep without shepherd. And then from 1999, due to some cases, I was put forward by some brothers and sisters to serve the church. But I tried to escape. I say, I'm a businessman. I earn big money because at the very beginning, I'm the one who earned the highest salary of my classmates. So ministers is in poor condition, so I just try to escape from that. But the brothers urged me to do that. And then I began to do that. I say, if somebody come, I would just withdraw from that. But in 2003, I was invited by some missionary to be interpreter to train some pastors in Northeast China. And there was maybe around 150 crowded in a small room. And after we finished the training, all the brothers and sisters come over, hug the missionary, and beg them, please come over to train us. And a lot of people crying. We are just like sheep without a shepherd. Please come, train us. At that time, I know at least two persons was deeply moved. One is a brother from Southern Baptist Church. That is his first journey to China. But from then on, he made up his mind to come to China and train the pastors. From then on, every year he come to China 3 times. Another man is me. I made up my mind, oh, Lord, if you want me to serve you, I would like to serve, to train the brothers and sisters. And then from then on, I began to serve in the church and lead the church. But due to my experience, I just tried to know more clearly. So I just just do my PhD in religious study for several years. And then I lead a church at the same time. So I usually go to bed at 2 o'clock in a deep night and get up at 6 o'clock. I slept 4 hours. And one day I just fall faint on the ground. So I just try to pray to the Lord, what is your aim for me? So we prayed quite a lot, and then later we found I should learn theology and train pastors. So I gradually withdraw from pastoring church and began to teach in some underground church seminaries. I teach maybe 300 pastors or seminary students. So from that experience, I myself, even though I was at the edge of burning out, just try to escape from the Lord. I began to know why Elijah and Jonah want to escape, because you feel very lonely, but Lord is always with you. So just as at one edge, the edge of being burned out at one time, I kneel down and pray to the Lord. Lord, if you don't give me some access to serve you better, I would like to retreat. Because in the past 10 years, I have to depend on my wife. From at the very beginning, I have a good job, but a little later, urged by the congregation members, I began to serve in church. I don't have salary, so that is a sharp decrease for 10 years. So I said, if you don't open doors, I have to retreat. And suddenly, I found the Lord saved me quite a lot of times. I have a lot of times nearly at the edge of death. And from the past 10 years, I never felt ill. It is the Lord's saved me. So I usually reflect on that from my own experience. With the Psalms. I can share some a few words of the Psalm 23. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd means a relationship. Yeah, the Lord is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And sheep can be used as for sacrifice, can be used for food, and its fleece can be used as a clothes. So it is a kind of heritage. The Lord will never give up us. So nobody can grasp us out of his hand. And so in this relationship, the Lord will first give you some physical or material blessings. That is, I shall not want. He lead me, he feeds me. But that is very, at the very beginning, it is just like a kind of a candy used for your parents to comfort your children. But little later, you will walk through the death of valley, the valley of darker shade of the death. So you can see from that verse, from he, the word used to describe the Lord is you. From he to you. He, I, and he, it is kind of relationship. You are the center. But after the death of valley, the Lord, you are the center. So only through the suffering, the Lord can become the center. And then only through that, the Lord will anoint you. Use his Holy Spirit. Use his blessing cup. And then you will dwell in the house of the Lord. That is the spirituality. That is the spiritual growth. First, the Lord will use some material blessings. But that is very shallow. A little later, Lord will use some suffering to make you grow. You Americans did quite a lot of body exercise. You did some jogging. You practice yourself. You make yourself healthy. And Lord use suffering to make our spiritual healthy. So then, only after that, you can dwell in the house of the Lord. We Christians are baptized into his death. So we are face the future that is to a kind of modification of ourselves, and then of old self, and renew of a new self, an inward man that is dwelled, that is regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But from what you can be regenerated? You can be a healthy, strong Christian that is suffering, sufferality. So only through this, we can grow healthy. I have a lot of friends who ever suffered from this, and a brother from the United States, he earned maybe $60,000, but when he came back to China, he earned only maybe $8,000, sharp degrees. He was at edge of burning out. I have another friend who has been persecuted by the policeman and ready to quit up, but the church backed down. And I have a lot of other friends just at the edge of burning out, and we organized a small group, and we prayed together, and they persisted, and the church began to grow rapidly. So within 1 year, a church twice the numbers. So we can see sufferology is a kind of blessings. May the Lord bless you, the saints of this church, more and more. God bless you.
Thank you, John. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. I So we, Heidi and I, we were released from prison, then really with international outcry, then we were with miracles, with really, Amanders. Heidi was actually pregnant with our first child and you know, facing an imminent, even a threat of forced abortion, because even for the first child, after you're married, you have to get a pregnancy permission card. And that's China. And also we're facing an imminent rearrest. So we went into hiding, and the Lord really moved really the mountains, rivers, and enabled us to escape from China through Thailand. And we got stuck in Hong Kong. That was Hong Kong still under British control in 1997. So but 3 days before Hong Kong was handed over to Communist China, and the Lord moved the powers through Bill Clinton, and so you know he did some good things, and so he made a you know right decision. And 3 days before Hong Kong turned over to China, we were allowed accepted into the U.S. as refugees. And since then, the Lord just gave us this ministry and called China Aid. So our mission is to advance religious freedom and the rule of law in partnership with the persecuted church in China by exposing the abuses of the persecution and encouraging the abuse and equip the leaders with the persecuted church. So I want to just to quickly have Attorney Li Subin and Jack. Subin, 你们就上来说两句, 就是说, 两句话吧，也算是, yeah, so Jack spent, 你们都过来吧, Jack spent 3 years in a Tibetan prison for his democracy participation. Later he became a Christian, then became a central figure in ministering to the suffering people in China.
非常高兴能在这个主日和美国的弟兄姊妹在一起敬拜上帝。
I'm so glad to be together worshiping of God with our American brothers and sisters on this Sunday.
中国到现在为止还是一个集权专制的国家。
China today still is an authoritarian dictatorship country.
人民没有最基本的人权。
There's really Chinese citizens still lack of basic human rights.
在中国，如果是你要敬拜上帝的话，你必须先要宣誓效忠党。So
if you want to worship in the government-sanctioned church, then in China you have to first show your loyalty to the Communist Party.
所以这样才有大量的地下教会和家庭教会的存在。
That's why the existence of a large number of a majority of the Chinese house churches in China.
那么我要强调的是共产党就是一个邪灵,
I want to emphasize that the communist in China, the Communist Party, is a satanic evil and a spirit.
所以呢,我们有很多家庭教会的弟兄姊妹呢,现在每天还在受逼迫。
And so that's why so many of our brothers and sisters in the house church are still suffering in prison in China. We know many churches, organizations in America have been supporting them.
所以说我相信我也能代表我很多基督教的朋友非常感谢大家。
So I want to also on behalf of many suffering Christian brothers and sisters in China, want to thank all of you.
希望你们今后继续关注中国的这个家庭教会。So
please continue to pray and care for the house churches in China.
好，谢谢，上帝保佑大家。God
bless you.
弟兄姊妹，主内平安。And
dear brothers and sisters, peace be with you from the Lord.
很高兴今天来到这里，和大家一起敬拜上帝。I'm
so glad to worship together with all of you.
哦，每次我看到很多一些洋的弟兄姊妹，在一起敬拜的时候，我都感到非常的感动。
I always have been deeply touched when I worship together now with our foreign brothers and sisters. Now we are foreigners. It's hard to make your rule adjusted.
这个今天早上我们来到这里的时候，我听到父母说，我们这个教会是咱们这个州唯一的一个，是叫监狱教会。
So this morning I heard from Pastor Bob Fu that this church is the only church authorized to do prison ministries in this state. It's a prison church.
这又让我这个开了眼界啊。
So I'm really have an eye-opening experience.
这个前一段在这个香港，我们这个有一个叫杰瑞老师给我们有一段录像放出来。
So in the past few few weeks ago, Dr. Jerry actually went to Hong Kong, had a training, and showed a piece of video.
节目的内容呢是这个在我们美国啊加州有一个这个有一个街头是街头的这个基督徒。
It was showing there's a church in California doing street evangelism worship.
这个美国这个敬拜呢，在街头大家是可以，哪怕是乞丐呢，也可以自由的去敬拜。
So we see even in America, even you allow people, even like beggars, they can worship on the street and whatever way they like.
这让我们在大陆的基督徒呢都感到很羡慕。
Oh, it made our brothers and sisters from mainland China so jealous.
但没想到今天来了之后啊，听说我们在监狱里啊，我们的美国这个基督徒也可以敬拜上帝，更让我很感动。
So I'm even more encouraged and eye-opened to learn today, even in your prison, the prisoner can worship the Lord freely. That's really made us even more jealous.
上帝是那么的爱美国。
God really loves America. Loves, you know, the American church.
我想上帝也一定会同样爱我们的，爱我们中国的基督教徒。
In the same manner, I think, you know, God must love the Chinese brothers and sisters too. The Chinese people. Amen. Thank you very much.Thank you. Yeah, I forgot to introduce Dr. Chen, Brother Zhang's wife, Sister Huang, and their cute, loving daughter, Sarah. They're stand up. We can recognize you. Yeah. So John mentioned, you know, he...has no salary in the past 10 years as a poor minister in China. And I think that really put extraordinary burden on his wife. And she has to work so hard and really accumulate lots of sickness. And so pray for her too. I hope, you know, with their coming, they just barely here for 2 months, right? 2 months. 2 months ago, they were able to come here to accompany John to study.Please be seated. So I want to invite Pastor Wang to come to minister the communion. I understand this is a communion Sunday. Sorry for sort of dragging a little long.
No, that's fine.
Lord is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does he want to share a little testimony? Before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
God bless you.
Really, my honor to be in this honorable church. I have two very touching moments.
就是我们的车下车的时候，我看到有几位弟兄。还有几位小姐妹，她们站在门口，很热情的哈，有这个 smile 在欢迎我们，我很感动。
I was deeply touched after we got off the car, and there were several brothers and young sisters with their big smile, they welcomed us.
你们很好客，很热情。
You're full of hospitality.
特别是那几位可爱的小女孩站在门口欢迎我，我就觉得好像是到家一样。
And this little cute girls, they were standing as greeters and really make me feel at home.
我觉得非常的亲切。
I feel so dear to them.
但我感到这个我们全世界的这个我们的弟兄姊妹，我们就是一句话，就是 In Christ we are one family. Amen.
Amen.
我第二件非常感动的事就是鲍伯夫他告诉我说你们教会是有意向的教会。
And the second thing I was touched was through Pastor Bob, and I learned that this church is a church with vision.
他说你们是这个做这个监狱的事工。
And you engage the ministry to prisoners.
这个我是非常的感动。
I'm very, very touched.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为我也做过监狱
，so I was imprisoned，
而且不止一次，是两次
，twice，
所以我就感到特别的亲切
，so I feel very very moved。
我这个到监狱里面去的时候，我觉得在监狱里面的那些狱友呢，他们更需要福音。
When I was in prison, I realized actually those prisoners there in the Chinese prison.More badly needing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
当第一天早上我这个被关进监狱的时候，那个牢头就是我们说的一号，他就问我说你是为什么进来的
？The second day, the first day after I was thrown into that prison cell, the prisoner number one, we called them number one, and just asked me, you know, what made you come here?
我很自豪地告诉他，我说是上帝派我来坐牢的。
So I told him proudly that God sent me here.
他就对我竖起这个大拇指说，哇，你侯赛雷啊，你很厉害。
He said with the thumbs up, said cool to you.
他说你连坐牢都是上帝派你来坐牢的。
Said even you come to prison sent by God.
所以我在监狱里面也是给大家传福音。
So I start sharing the gospel with these prisoners.
他们所有的人说我要这个加入你们。
So all the prisoners told me they want to join the membership.
他说你现在赶快给我们做一个入教仪式。
He said just immediately give us a membership.Membership ceremony in the prison.
后来真的是有一位这个在监狱里面结了一个果子，他也来教会。从监狱里面出来以后
，and this one of these prisoners in my cell, after he was released, joined our church and came to know the Lord.
感谢主哈。
Yeah.
所以这个我不知道你们知道我问你们一个问题。
I want to ask you a question now.
你们知道这个世界上最大的监狱是哪一个监狱吗？
Do you know which prison is the most the most cruel, the cruelest prison in the world?
Who answer me?
Some will say Guantanamo Bay.
Just kidding. 其实在全世界最大的监狱呢，就是中华人民共和国。
Actually, the largest prison in the whole world is called People's Republic of China.
因为中国有13亿的这个人，这13亿的人都在蹲一个最大的监狱。
In that prison, there are 1.3 billion prisoners really serving.
没有自由
，no freedom.
他们都活在罪中。
They live in deep sin and bondage.
没有言论的自由。
No freedom of speech.
没有信仰的自由。
No freedom of religion.
没有生育的自由。
No freedom of giving birth.
他们就活在一个监狱里面。
Everyone lives in that prison.
所以我鼓励你们。
So I want to encourage you.
把这个同样的意向也去到中国。
With that same vision you minister to the prisoners here, to bring that vision back to China,
把这个最大的监狱里面的人释放出来,
and to free all prisoners from this largest prison in the whole world.
所以我也是在, 这个第一次坐监牢的时候, 我这个信了耶稣。
I came to know the Lord when I was imprisoned when I first time. Yeah.
我感觉到就是说, 活在这个罪中是最大的一个捆绑，没有自由。
I just felt the biggest bondage for me is living in sin and with not freedom.
只有真理才能够释放我们。Only
the truth can set us free.
Yeah.
真理使我们得到自由。
And the truth of Jesus can set us free. Yeah.
所以我们每一个人要每天在这个每天要得到释放，每天要认罪悔改。
So every day we should seek freedom with the word of the Lord.
从这个罪恶的这个监狱里面释放我们。
Set ourselves free from sin and depravity.
所以我现在给大家来朗诵这一段的圣经。
So I want to read this part,
更多前书,
this part of the gospel. It's saying, 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians chapter 11.
23节到29节。
23 to 29.
我们一同来到神的面前。
Let's come to the before the Lord.
我们愿神的话来光照我们。
May the word of the Lord shine upon us.
让我们每天都有一个更新。
So every day we are renewed.
每天都在上帝的面前认罪悔改。
So every day we can come before the Lord to repent and return to the Lord.
这样我们每天就能够在神的爱里面得到自由。
So every day we can live in freedom, in God's love.
好，请听神的话。
Hear the word of the Lord.
我当日传给你们的。
For I received from the Lord.
原是从主领受的。
What I also passed on to you.
就是主耶稣被卖的那一夜,
the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed,
拿起饼来,
took bread,
祝谢了,
and when he had given thanks,
就掰开,
he broke it,
说,
and said,
这是我的身体,
this is my body,
为你们舍的,
which is for you.
你们应当如此行,
do this in remembrance of me,
为的是纪念我,
and in remembrance of me.
饭后,
in the same way after supper,
也照样拿起杯来,
he took the cup,
说,
saying,
这杯是用我的血所立的新约,
this cup is the new covenant in my blood.
你们每逢喝的时候,
do this,
要如此行,
whenever you drink it,
为的是纪念我,
in remembrance of me.
你们每逢吃这饼,
for whenever you eat this bread,
喝这杯,
and drink this cup,
是表明主的死,
you proclaim the Lord's death,
只等到他来,
until he comes.
所以无论何人,
so then,
不按你吃主的饼,
whoever eats the bread or drinks,
喝主的杯,
whoever eats the bread, or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner,
就是干犯主的身, 主的血了,
will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood.
人应当自己省察,
everyone ought to examine ourselves,
然后吃这饼, 喝这杯,
before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup.
因为人吃喝,
for those who eat and drink,
若不分辨是主的身体,
without discerning the body of Christ,
就是吃喝自己的罪了,
eat and drink judgment on ourselves.
所以神给我们一个机会,
so the Lord gave us an opportunity.
我们可以来到神的面前,
we can come before him.
愿神的光来光照我们,
and may his light from God shine upon us.
我们在神的面前, 每天的认罪,
so we can come to him,
回转归向神,
and repent and return to the Lord.
他就赦免我们的罪,
and he forgave our sins.
在约翰一书一章第九节, 神告诉我们,
and in John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9,
我们若认自己的罪,
if we confess our sins,
神是信实的。
He is faithful.
是公义的。
And just.
必要赦免我们的罪。
And will forgive us our sins.
洗净我们一切的罪。
And purify us from all unrighteousness.
愿我们紧紧地抓住神这个美好的应许。
So let's hold this promise from the Lord firmly.
我们每个人都到神的面前。
And come before the Lord.
向神认罪悔改。
And to repent, examine ourselves.
神的祝福就临到我们。
And God's blessing will surely come to us.
所以首先我们请大家我们在神的面前安静两三分钟。
So let's come to the Lord with some quiet time.
我们低下头。
Let's bow our heads.
我们闭上我们的眼睛。
Let's close our eyes.
我们愿神来光照我们。
And may our Lord shine upon us.
我们来与神和好。
So we can reconcile with our Lord. The Lord took bread,
祝谢了,
and gave thanks,
就掰开,
and broke it,
递给他的门徒,
and handed to his disciples,
说,
and said,
这是我的身体,
this is my body,
为你们舍的,
and for you,
你们要如此行,
and you should do it,
为的是纪念我,
in remembrance of me.
主啊,
Lord,
我们今天从不同的地方,
We come from different parts of the world.
不同的肤色的人。
And with different color and races.
你这一群儿女。
Your children are, they're all your children.
来到你的圣宝座前。
And we come to your, the sanctuary of grace.
请你祝福我们。
And may you bless us.
祝福我们这个教会。
And bless our church.
建立我们手上所做的工作。
And consolidate, strengthen the work you gave to us.
赐给我们信心。
And give us more faith.
赐给我们意象。
And give us more vision.
让我们不要违背你给到我们从天上而来的意象。
So that we will not run in opposite of the vision you gave to us from heaven.
我们继续地靠着你。
So we can rely on you continuously.
在真理里面得到自由。
And we are free in the truth.
也求你让我们成为你祝福的管道。
And may you also enable us to be the channel of your grace and blessing.
去释放那些还在做监牢的人。
So we can set those prisoners free.
求你赐给我们信心。
And give us faith.
赐给我们力量。
And give us strength.
让我们仰望你。
So we can look upon you.
我们这样的祷告。
Our prayer
是奉主耶稣基督的名。
In the name of our Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So can be.
What I might suggest here, if we want to put it, yes, that's what we'll do. We'll have our worship team come up and lead us in a worship song. The congregation will be invited to come forward and receive the elements, and then we'll partake of communion together in just a few minutes.
And now, bend the knee, I cry. of hands with the fresh body of Christ.
主耶稣基督
Lord Jesus Christ.
他在十字架上为我们每一个人舍弃了他的身体。
He sacrificed his life.
流出了他的宝血。
Shed his blood on the cross.
我们是主耶稣用重价买赎回来的。
And we are ransomed with this heavy price, Jesus Christ.
让我们每个人用感恩的心，我们来领受神所赐给我们这个恩典。
Let's use it as a channel of grace.
感谢主，感谢。
Thankful heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
好，我们一同领受。上帝给我们的祝福，主啊，我们感谢你，赞美你。
We thank you and praise you.
你何等的爱我们。
You love us so much.
你的爱永远不离开我们。
Your love is never forsaken.
你爱我们的家庭。
We love our families.
祝福我们的孩子。
And bless our children.
祝福我们这个教会。
And bless our church here.
让我们有恩典能够来服侍你。
And with sufficient grace to serve you.
愿主耶稣基督你的恩惠
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
天父上帝的慈爱
Love of our Heavenly Father
圣灵的感动与交通
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
常与我们众弟兄姊妹同在
Be with our brothers and sisters always
直到永永远远
Forever and forever
我们这样的祷告祈求是奉靠主耶稣基督的名
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Yes. Mentioned Pastor Wong's wife. We recognize Angelina.
God bless you, Angelina. Well, this was wonderful, wasn't it? Praise God. Just one or two minutes here, one or two moments, and we're going to conclude our service. And we have a wonderful luncheon downstairs. Very simple, but everybody's invited to stay with us and visit and greet our Chinese brothers and sisters. And let's just have a wonderful time as the family of God. Bob Fu, what a blessing. Bob received his honorary doctorate degree this past Friday. So in Jesus' name, I think what we should do is declare Bob Fu and his family honorary members of the Outpost Church and an honorary pastor of our church. So Bob, whenever you come back to St. Louis, you belong to us. Okay? So we want you to come back. Okay, and share with us. He said he has a reservation. So I want to say, as the pastor of this church, that we will be a church that not only rejoices in the opportunity to believe the gospel, we will be a church that rejoices in the opportunity to suffer for the gospel. Yeah. And we will be a church that not only embraces Jesus, we will be a church that embraces the cross. Amen. And I have one thing in my heart that I really want to do, and that is for our brothers and sisters who have actually been in prison, or your spouse or your parents had been in prison. Would you stand, Bob Fu? You've been in prison for Christ and the gospel. Okay. And this morning on the way to church, I'm not kidding, this is really true, and I felt a confirmation when Bob was speaking. I was thinking of this passage from Hebrews chapter 12, this great cloud of witnesses. The Bible tells us that this cloud of witnesses in heaven is watching us. as we run this race of faith, and they cheer us from the banisters of heaven. They root for us, and they acknowledge us. So I would like to say this morning that not only with the cloud of witnesses in heaven, we, the Outpost Church, join with this great cloud of witnesses, and we honor you, your service to the gospel, your suffering for the gospel.
Amen.
We are humbled. Our faith is strengthened because of your witness. We cheer for you, we root for you, we acknowledge you, we honor you and what you're doing for God. And I'd like to give them a great hand. We do rejoice. We thank you for this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, that is cheering us. Thank you for the nourishment, the strength of our faith that we find in this place this morning, the house of God. Thank you for being present with us, Lord. Thank you for the presence, the very powerful and felt presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, God. Forgive us for our reluctance to embrace the cross of our Savior. Lord, may we grow, may we be strengthened, may we honor you from this day forward in all that we do. Bless now this time of fellowship, the meal that we're about to receive, the hands and the hearts that have prepared it. We give you thanks, God. We say that we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We're welcome to migrate downstairs. And guys, I think we'll need a few more chairs. So if you guys can carry a few chairs down, and please make yourself at home.